Hi, I'm Joel Gould and welcome to a special NRL.com podcast with Brisbane Broncos captain Darius Boyd. Thanks for joining us. We're coming to you from the Broncos' brand new headquarters at Red Hill, where I'm joined by the Broncos' fullback. How are you, Darius?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you.
Well, mate, let's head straight into it. Everyone's wondering, I guess, how's your hamstring coming along?
Yeah, it's coming along really well. Obviously, I had a bit of a mishap about 6 weeks ago, and I was quite frustrated at the time, but I've been working really hard the last 6 weeks in particular, but even probably before that, before Christmas, about getting some things right with my hamstrings and even my calves in particular. I did my Achilles a few years ago and probably never really focused on that properly. I come back into I think it was round 8 or 9, so to be able to focus on that, have a more tailored pre-season has been really good, and I'm feeling really good at the moment right now.
What was the issue the second time around? Because I remember watching your training and you looked like you were right back on track, and then twang. Is that what happened, or was that basically it, or
tweak? Because I've been doing a lot of hamstring stuff, and I had a lot of tendon pain last year around the finals time, and they reckon that can take up to 3 months, and so I kind of got that right over the November and the Christmas break and all that. But then when I come back in early January, it was more just like a normal muscle, lower muscle injury with my hamstring, and I think it was basically because I've been doing so much hamstring work and extras in the gym that coming out in the field is probably just fatigued and probably a bit much for it to handle coming straight back in. I really come from the Christmas break, I come straight back into full training, and in hindsight probably needed to ease my way in, but we've had a better approach the last 6 weeks, easing my way back into different things, and like I said, it's feeling really strong at the moment.
You, I know you were saying to me, you felt like it was a good thing for you to do all that extra work, because you haven't, let's face it, I mean, looking back, you had a lot of representative commitments, the Achilles problem. You wouldn't have had many pre-seasons like this. Do you feel like it might be even a blessing in disguise in a way?
Oh, I definitely do, yeah. I think obviously I was disappointed to miss out on the World Cup, not getting any younger, so another World Cup might be out of reach, but yeah, the flip side is obviously good to spend time with family and have that proper break, and then also to get more training and rehab into my hamstrings and my body in general, and like I said, the staff being great really got me more of a tailored program, probably the last almost 12 weeks, 3 months, and I'm definitely feeling stronger because of it.
You don't see it as a long-term issue? I mean, you're going to be playing fullback this year, correct? That's where you're playing?
Yeah.
There's been a bit of talk about you possibly playing 5'8", as there always is, you know, coming into a season, but how do you feel about that? You're going to be able to handle the running you're going to be doing this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've actually been quite shocked at training. A lot of the performance stuff, we wear GPS vests and whatnot, and that tells us how fast we're running and how many high accelerations and how many kilometres and so on we're doing, and some of the drills we're doing, I've been doing 150, almost 200% more accelerations than what I'd do in a game, so it doesn't feel like that sometimes when you're running around playing with a ball and calling plays and different things, but yeah, some of the stuff I've been doing's been well and above what I'd do in a game, so that's kind of given me a lot of confidence knowing that I'm doing it on the training paddock, I'm definitely going to be able to handle it on the field.
You're a bit amused sometimes, mate, that your hamstrings are becoming like a ginormous topic, a body part. Like, it's been written about a hell of a lot and talked about a lot. Do you have what's your mindset on that? Do you just sometimes have a bit of a grin?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I suppose I'm the captain of the club, and it's been something that's probably been around for the last 3 months for me now in the final series, and then a month ago I had a little mishap again. So, yeah, I can understand why, but I've been working hard, and I'm hoping that that's going to reap the rewards once round one comes.
There's been suggestions that you do move into 5'8". Why is that not going to happen this year? And do you see it as a possibility down the track in years to come? Or what's your feeling on that, and what conversations have you had with Wayne about that?
Well, me and Wayne have never had a conversation on that, but I'd definitely be open to it. I do like that position. I like getting your hands on the ball early. I like calling the shots and being dominant on the field, I guess, but fullback is definitely my best position, and I'd have to do a lot of practice on kicking, that's for sure, because that's one thing I haven't done a lot of, and that's something that the 5'8 role definitely requires, and obviously frontline defence too, but no, I just think what I've seen from Cody, not only last year when he filled in for Ben, but even at training the last probably 2 months, he's been very dominant, he's been calling the shots a lot. He knows when to call it. He's been choosing the right options. He's been executing. He played well in the game in Toowoomba against the Titans as well. He knows he's the halfback this year, and I think that's going to give him a lot of confidence to play well.
What's his biggest challenge, do you think, as the halfback this year? He's going to be playing alongside Milford, who's obviously a similar, would you say, a similar style of player with the way he plays off the cuff a little bit, very expansive, plays what he sees. Is that what's the challenge there, do you think, for those two guys playing together?
I just think calling the ball, knowing what's required in certain game situations. I think as a young half, I think that's something that game management and experience, it does take time to learn. And while they're both young halves, I think that's where myself and Andrew McCulloch can really help out. Andrew can control the forwards and lay the platforms for the halves. I can control the guys out wide, tell them what we're going to do, and it's basically up to the two halves to call the ball and kick it when they see opportunities to. So the more we can simplify their game and let them play to their strengths, which is their instincts and their freakish ability with their legs and their footwork and their ball skills, then the better we'll be.
Do you think sometimes, I mean, we walk into the Broncos headquarters and it's very impressive. I've never been here until today, and it's you look up on the photos and at the premierships that are there, and we know the ones that you've won. We see in a lot of the photos Langer and Walters. Do you think Ben Hunt mentioned recently that he didn't talk about it much when he was here, but he said since he's gone to the Dragons that he did feel expectation wearing that 7 jersey in particular, although the 6 was a pretty good one that Kevy wore.
Yeah.
But is that a real issue, do you think, sometimes when you're at Brisbane? Or what's the feeling? Because everyone talks about Langer and Walters. Mm. How do you think that affects these young guys?
I don't think so, but you probably have to ask them, to be totally honest, because we don't put that on ourselves. We don't ever talk about any of that stuff. I mean, we know how proud this club is in the history, and every year, whether you're at any club, you want your goal is to win the comp, and I know everyone does say that, but the thing that I suppose, being a one team town, and Brisbane is, in my opinion, is the heart and soul of rugby league, and you see that through Origin time and all that type of thing as well. And you get around town and people, there's fans are talking about the footy and how you're going to go this year and whatever else, and I suppose you could find that bit of it, the side of it, as an expectation or a bit of pressure. But if you simplify it and just worry about you being the best you can be every time you come to training, every time you have to be in the video room, every time you're doing weights, and every time you're on the field, then you're giving yourself the best possible chance to get the results in the end. And I think maybe the younger guys might see a bit of a burden, and I'm not too sure, but I mean, as you get older, you just know you have to do everything possible to give yourself the best chance.
Looking at your forwards this year, or watching you train, there's a lot of young forwards, huge. I'm thinking Payne Haas, I'm thinking David Fifita, I'm certainly thinking Matt Lodge. There were some interesting stats that we had on NRL.com recently, where you're number 8 and 10 last year. They were the 14th and the 16th highest for metres gained. But obviously they still, Adam Blair was one of those, but they still did a very good job. Can you just talk to us a little bit about the way you're playing your props? And also, do you see these guys, some of these young guys coming through, getting a game this year, like the Haases and the Fifitas?
All I can say about the young guys in particular, and there's a whole heap more, is just that it's very exciting for this club, to be honest. There's a lot of kids coming through, and they are kids, but they're very exciting talents. And they're probably too young at the moment, but in a couple of years, I think this club's going to be in very, very strong hands with some of those guys coming through. But going back to that meterage point, we played to our strength, and we knew what our strength was. And while they weren't massive meter gainers, they were guys that would do those 1% plays. Like Adam Blair, countless times he would kick chase, or he'd cover defend, or he'd close the gap when there's a break made. He would put pressure on the kicker, he'd get a charge down. Those type of things, that was his strength, and that's fine. We had guys like Tau Tau Moga and Corey Oates are making 200, 180 metres a game, you know. So while it wasn't the forwards making it, as a whole team, we all contributed in a different way, and I think that's just the way you need to play to your strengths. And if your strength is tackling and defending or whatever it is, or making those 1% plays, then you do that. And that's what I think Blairy and whoever... The other stat they were going on was probably more so...
Corbin, I think it would have been, mostly, yeah.
well, more, that's probably more their game, you know, where we had other guys. Josh Maguire would always churn out a lot of metres. He'd do a lot of tackles too. Matt Gillette made a lot of tackles. But I think our back five was top two in the competition for metres gained. So while the forwards weren't doing it, they were doing the defending side and the backs were doing the carry. So it's a team game, you know. So I've always said that whenever, even in particular, people like to focus on halfbacks and 5'8s and say, oh, they didn't do this and didn't do that. And you say, well, you need your forwards to get you forward and you need to put you in good positions and that type of thing. So it's always a team game. No one can play their best if four or five guys let you down. So it's always a round rotation type thing.
Matt Lodge, mate, he's was described the other day as a halfback in a front rower's body. He is quite exciting, isn't he? What do you think he's going to bring? What extra dimension maybe to the Broncos' play this year that excites you?
Oh, he's just a big lad, and that's something we haven't had a lot of in the past, and not for probably since the Webke Petro Brad Thorne days. Is some big boppers, and he's only played a handful of first grade games, so I think we need to be patient with Lodgy. I don't think we want to be expecting anything massive out of him early, but he's definitely got the potential to do some good things, and I'm just excited to play behind him and play behind a big lad like Lodgy, who's someone that, like you said, he can pass the ball if need be, but first and foremost, we just want him to lay a good platform and get some quick play the balls for us.
Mate, a lot's been written, you've been spoken to many times about your relationship with Wayne and how it stretches right back, and it's continued all through your career. Remarkable that you've played under one man for the whole period of time. There wouldn't be too many actually players that would have done that and played for as long as you. But can you just maybe explain that? I'm interested to know, and I guess fans would be, what's the dynamic between you two guys during the week? I know you cop a bit of stick sometimes about how close you guys are, but from your players, don't you? Is that right?
Oh, players, fans, you name it.
But what's the dynamic like with you? Do you ring each other? You're in each other's pocket all the time, or can you explain it? What's a typical day when Darius and Wayne are concerned?
Yeah, sometimes it's conversations are funny because we're both pretty quiet, so there's not a lot said sometimes if he calls me on the phone. But usually it's just about things we can improve, how do you think the team's going, things we're trying to drive at training, things I'm seeing on the field or at training that need to be improved, and occasionally it'd be just a general catch-up about family and how's outside life going and that type of thing, but it's more just of a mutual respect type thing, I think. We all pass each other and just have a grin or a wink, you know. It's nothing much is always said. It's pretty quiet, to be honest, a lot of the time, but if there's something we want to speak about or ask something, then I think, well, Wayne's obviously the leader in that. He's the one that would come to me more so, but I feel comfortable enough to talk to him if there's something I need to speak up about.
Silence is always the thing with Wayne, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if it's certainly for a journalist, you know, you can ask, if you don't ask the right question, there's silence and then a look and then maybe not much or quite a, sometimes there can be quite a lot. Is that interesting? Do you feel like you can be just yourself and you don't have to say anything when you two guys are around?
Yeah, well, it's just genuine. It's just real, you know. Like, I mean, there's a lot of different personalities in the world, and Wayne's and mine are probably pretty similar. We're not the loudest person in the room, we're far from it, and but at the same time, and Wayne's obviously a lot better than me. He knows when to speak and what needs to be said, and he can be pretty motivational and pretty down to the point when he has to be, and he can make some tough decisions too. So he hasn't had all the success he's had, whether that's been on the field or just growing young men into young kids into men without knowing something. So he's on the right track, obviously, and he knows what he's doing. But I think he's definitely helped me become a man, and I've definitely learned a lot of him from just the way he carries himself, really.
Have you ever had a disagreement with him?
No, I haven't, actually. Nothing.
Never?
No. Oh, I wouldn't say a disagreement. I might have a different opinion on something, but we haven't had, there's never been like an argument or a heated moment or anything like that. I'm not a confrontational person anyway, so if there was something I wasn't too happy about, I might just let it go. I wouldn't probably bring it up. But, like I said, Wayne's, he knows how to make those tough calls and tough decisions, and that's probably what's made him so successful. You can't be beaten around the bush, and when you're trying to run a strong club and organisation and all that type of stuff, you need to make good decisions, and time and time again over the years. There's probably been ones that he's had to make, hard ones, but have probably been the right ones.
Do you have any discussions on selections? Do you help him select the team, or is there a consultation there, or how does that work?
Not really. He always asks for our opinion, and that's probably the leadership group as a whole.
Yeah,
what we're thinking. I have interchanges and front right forwards and things. That's way out of my league. I'll never clue how many interchanges goes and how many you need and how many you need saved and all that. So that's probably Josh Maguire's alley, and Wayne probably talks to him a bit about that. But as far as maybe some of the wingers and catching and different things, and if we've got an injury in the back line, he might ask my opinion on that. But we definitely don't pick the team. It's and I wouldn't like to do that either, to be honest. I wouldn't like to hold someone's fate in my hands when I'm a player, and again, that's a hard decision, and I'll leave that up to Wayne.
You've signed on for 4 more years, Darius. Is the intention, I know it's a long way off, is there an intention to be it? Or what's your feeling? Or are you looking at that as a stepping stone to another contract here?
That's a good question. I wouldn't have a clue, to be totally honest. I mean, I think I'd like to play as long as my body holds up, whether that's 2, 3, 4, 6, and whether I'm playing at a high level. But I think I'm pretty competitive and a bit of a perfectionist. So if I wasn't playing to my best and to a level where I knew I was happy with and capable, and something that I've probably, the level I've played at for the last however long and most of my career, then I think I would probably call it quits, because I don't think I'd be able to handle myself being anything but the best version of me. And if that was only in a year's or 2 years' time, then I'd be happy to put my hand up and say that's enough.
We've seen guys like Justin Hodges and Corey Parker talk about their desire recently to coach and even to be Broncos coaches down the track. What about yourself? Have you ever had an aspiration, do you have one, to maybe get involved in coaching?
I've probably never had an aspiration, but I suppose when you talk about maturity, leadership, growth, all that type of thing, I mean, being the captain of the club, that's something, it's probably a natural progression, the way you're trying to lead by example and teach some of the young guys coming through certain things. You're an experienced player when you get to the point that I'm in, and obviously Corey and Justin were as well. And I mean, I do a little bit of help with the backs and catching and some of the fullbacks and centres, wingers, that type of stuff anyway right now. So I mean, I could definitely see myself doing that type of thing. I'm not sure about a head coach. I don't know if I could handle the spotlight and the pressure of it. Rugby league playing, spotlight's enough. I think that's hard enough. And I don't know how Wayne's done it for 30-something years. But, yeah, I mean, I would never rule it out. But at this stage, I wouldn't say head coach, no.
There's a lot of symmetry in your career. You know, you started here. I think you were a bit stunned. Would that be right, when Wayne gave you a jersey when you were, how old, 18? Was that right, when you played in 2006?
Yeah, I was, to be honest. I mean, I'd played one Queensland Cup game the year before when I was at school, and I had a good year that year at school, but I was pretty much coming up here to probably play for the Twin Clydesdales, which was a reserve grade team at the time, and I didn't trial particularly well either. I didn't do anything outstanding in the trials, but one thing I did do was train my ass off. In the pre-season, I come up and I was probably top 2 or 3 in most of the fitness drills, and I was very competitive. I just worked my butt off to be the best version of me, and I think Wayne really seen that more particularly than anything about what kind of player I was going to be. I was a safe player. I didn't take risks. I didn't take chances, and that's something I've based my whole career on, really. I'm probably not the flashiest player, but I'd like to think I'm pretty reliable and safe when it comes to my play, and you can trust me out in the field. And I think that's something that Wayne's seen on me early and as a young kid, and gave me that opportunity.
You've mentioned before that there's a great trust between you, but I think that was evident in particular, wasn't it, when you left the Broncos and went to the Dragons. We did a piece in NRL.com. It's been mentioned by you since, I think, as well, where Wayne said, "You're with me," and you went with him. Just tell us a bit about that. That must have been a moving moment for you, and a very proud moment. You look back, that arguably the greatest coach of the in rugby league history, yep, along with Jack Gibson, you would think, had that faith in you and wanted you in his team.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of moments in my career where I felt like I've had that, and one was obviously giving me my debut jersey. Another one was to play me in the grand final at the end of that year. I think the second last round, Wayne dropped me back to... Oh, he dropped me, actually. I didn't play reserve grade. I just had a week off, and I'd played every game up until that point. And I think he just said I was a young kid, I needed a rest, and I wasn't playing to my best. And he said, I'm going to bring you back in the week after, but if you... Then it's game on and back on. If you don't perform, then... We had guys like Tame Tupu, who played for New Zealand. We had Steve Michaels. Carmichael and Hodjo were changing in between fullback spots. So we had Leon Bott here, Scott Minto. So there was a list of players he could have picked. And I managed to get back into the team. I played okay in a couple of games. In the prelim final, I think Matt Utai ran over me and scored a try. And they kicked a 40-20 on my side. So we're all celebrating going to the grand final, and I'm in the shower wondering if Wayne's going to pick me for the next week, because I didn't really think I had the best game, and he obviously picked me. I won the premiership, and so there's a couple of moments there where he really showed trust in me, and I really respected that. And obviously then when I found out that Brisbane didn't really want to re-sign me after my last year here, and Wayne kind of said, well, yeah, you can come with me. And another thing where he just showed more trust in me, wanted me to go with him. And I've said it before, but not only I felt like I would better myself as a person with him off the field, I thought that having the best coach coaching you would better my football career as well. So I thought it was a no-brainer.
And you must be so happy that if all things are equal, I'm not sure how much longer Wayne is going to coach. I think he said he's not a social person, so why would he retire? Yep. So you could very well finish your career here at the Broncos with Wayne Bennett as your coach. And how would, if you did that, how'd you feel about that?
Oh, it's definitely special. It's funny how things work out sometimes, and a lot of people believe that everything happens for a reason, and I kind of do believe that a little bit to some extent. And while I never wanted to leave this club and in the first place, it's a club I've followed since I was a six-year-old boy, but I suppose rugby league is a business at the end of the day. It's something I learned at an early age, and in saying that, I'm very grateful that I did go away and experience not only the Dragons and had some successful years there, but I'm just grateful for the experience I got from Newcastle too. While it wasn't successful in the football field, it taught me a lot off of it, and I probably got some help that I had needed for a long, long time. So I took a lot of life experiences out of those challenges moving away, and then to come back here now and to be able to be the captain and have a couple more years and hopefully win another premiership, which is the goal. It's been a full circle, and it's something I'm really proud of.
Well, thanks for having a chat to us, Darius. We really appreciate that. All the best this year, and we hope to see you on the field in round one.
Yep.
Against the Dragons. That's the aim, and that's happening, is it, do you think?
Definitely,
you're on track?
Definitely happening.
Yeah, definitely happening?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much to Darius Boyd for giving his time to us. It was fascinating to chat with him. Don't forget to rate the podcast and subscribe wherever you get your podcast feed. Bye for now.